BGMC. The biblical truth lives here.
Welcome to the City Gate Messianic Bible Study, being brought to you by Beth Goyim Messianic Congregation. What is the importance of the biblical city gate? It was a place contracts were made that are binding forever. The city gate was also a place of redemption for the kinsman redeemer. The city gate was a place where chastisement was administered. So come join us now as we enter into the City Gate Messianic Bible Study.
Let's go get a blessing. Okay, what we're going to be doing tonight is we're going to be studying. We're going to be reviewing what we've already covered a couple of years ago in the book of Jeremiah. Just an overview of some things to get us back into the study. We were doing our study of Psalm 119. But we're going to take a little break from that for a little while, and then we'll come back to that study. But what we're doing here is a City Gate Messianic Bible Study. Yirmiyahu, that's Jeremiah, and his name means whom Jehovah has appointed. Okay, so what we're going to be doing is a review. So let's go to a really key part of what Jeremiah wrote. Turn in your Bible to Jeremiah, Yirmiyahu, that's his Hebrew name, Yirmiyahu. Chapter 26, we're going to look at verse 2 and 3. Jeremiah, Yirmiyahu, 26, chapter 26, verse 2 and 3. Give you a second to turn to that. It says, Jehovah says, stand in the courtyard of Jehovah's house and speak to the people from all the cities in Yehuda who come to worship at Jehovah's house. Say everything I order you to say to them and don't leave out a word. Maybe they will listen and each of them turn from his evil way. Then I will be able to relent from the disaster I intend to bring on them because of how evil their deeds are. Okay, so this is one of the key verses in Jeremiah. And it's something for us to all really understand because it's so sad because the people of Israel have not changed. And nor has Jehovah, that's the Eternal One, the Father in heaven. And He's wanting us to teshuva, meaning repent and return, because he does not want to chastise, okay? That's something we all need to understand fully, that Jehovah does not want to chastise his people. He wants them to turn from sin. He wants to be with us, but he can't be with us if we are violating his laws. He can't be with us if we are openly going against his laws and sinning. So you see there in verse 2 in the yellow, it says, speak to the people from all the cities of Yehuda. Okay, so Jehovah always sends messengers to warn the people of impending disaster. And we'll get to this in one of the slides later, but I think it's important to say now that Yirmiyahu, Jeremiah, prophesied for 50 years before all the things he wrote about came to pass. And I say that not to cover myself, because the Lord told me to move from New Jersey down to North Carolina. But people are saying that, these things haven't happened, but if you go to New York and New Jersey, it is not good to live there. The rents are skyrocketing. Everything is expensive. The work is limited. It's overrun with people that are not citizens of this nation. And You know, we all have to do what we believe God is talking to us about. But look at verse 2 and 3 again. Jehovah said, stand in the courtyard of Jehovah's house and speak to the people from all the cities in Yehuda who come to worship at Jehovah's house. Say everything I ordered you to say to them, and don't leave out a word. Maybe they will listen, and each of them turn from his evil way. Then I will be able to relent from the disaster I intend to bring on them because of how evil their deeds are. Okay, so this is once again, you know, in Israel today, this could be written about Israel this very moment, because their deeds are extraordinarily wicked. Okay, so that's something really for us to look at, that we as people don't change. And it's something for all of us to look at, and also subscribe to our pages. If you're on YouTube or Rumble, subscribe so you get a notification when we put up a new video. Okay, so let's move on. One of the things I like to do is have timelines, and so I know when things happen, the order that things happen, because I think we're going through these same things again. Okay. So Yirmiyahu began ministering in 627 before Messiah, during the reign of King Josiah. Okay, so let me bring up this beautiful picture. Okay, it has a lot in it, because during the time of Jeremiah, where you see this arrow here, that's where Jeremiah is. He's right in the middle of Amos, Hosea, Micah, Obadiah, Habakkuk. Okay, he's right in the middle there of all these things happening. Okay, it's near the Psalms, and Jeremiah wrote Lamentations also, and there's Zechariah there. Okay, there's a lot going on in our scriptures that overlap or are very close to the time of Yirmiyahu, Jeremiah. So you have him, you know, he's writing as also Hosea is writing, because you see the overlap here. If you look at your slides, good. And if you want the slides from the PowerPoint here, just send me an email at info@bethgoyim.org. That's info@bethgoyim.org. Okay, so Jeremiah is overlapped with Hosea, Micha, Habakkuk, Obadiah, Lamentations. Okay, all this is overlapping one another. So when you're reading those books, the other books such as Hosea, Micah, Habakkuk, Obadiah, you need to also take into account Jeremiah, Yirmiyahu, what is going on in that book, because they're overlapping with one another. And that'll help you get a larger picture of what's going on in that time period, because the other prophets will have other information, the minor prophets will have other information, and it'll help you get a larger picture of what's going on. I also have a slide here. It's a little hard to see, but what I'm really focusing on here is the two tribes. You got Yehuda and Israel. Okay, Israel. The orange is in red. So if you can see just that on your slides there, you can see the orange and red. The orange and red mean those are bad kings. Yellow was not as bad as orange and red. And you see, during this time period, Israel, the northern tribes, they have many bad kings. Oranges and in red is totally abhorrent to Jehovah. But Yehuda has some more greens and more yellows, and then they get a real, they go from a green to a red, which is really bad, and then back to a green again, then to a red. So you see them beginning to fail and go into the world. When you have these bad kings, when you have bad leadership that doesn't follow God, the people will act even worse. And when you read all that, and like I said, you go back to the other prophets, you see there that these kings that are bad, when we look at the kings that are bad here, especially in the northern tribes of the red and the oranges, and then you read these other prophets, you will get a really good understanding of what's going on in the land of Israel and why God sends the northern tribes away. And then ultimately, as we see there at the bottom of the kings, it goes from green to red to orange, and God gets fed up with his people. Okay, so now turn to Yirmiyahu, Jeremiah 25. We're going to read verse 3 through 14. And like I said, this is an overview of what's going on. Israel is spiritually in a very dark place. Yirmiyahu, Jeremiah 25, verse 3 through 14. For 23 years, since the 13th year of Yoshiyahu, the son of Ammon, king of Yehuda, until today, the word of Yehovah has come to me, and I have proclaimed it to you on numerous occasions, but you haven't listened. Moreover, Yehovah sent you all his servants, the prophets, again on numerous occasions, but you didn't listen or pay attention. The message was always, every one of you, turn back from his evil way, from the evil of your actions. Then you will live in the land Yehovah gave you and your ancestors forever and ever. Don't follow gods by serving and worshiping them. Don't provoke my anger with things your own hands have made. Then I will do you no harm. But you wouldn't listen to me, says Yehovah, so that you could provoke me with the products of your hands to your own harm. Therefore, here is what Yehovah Tsevaot says. Because you haven't paid attention to what I've been saying, I'm going to send for all the families of the north, says Yehovah, and for my servant Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babel, and bring them against this land, against its inhabitants, against all its surrounding nations. I will completely destroy them, making them an object of horror and ridicule, a perpetual ruin. Moreover, I will silence among them the sounds of joy and gladness, the voices of the bridegroom and bride, the grinding of millstones, and the light of lamps. This entire land will become a ruin, a waste, and these nations will serve the king of Babel for 70 years. But when the 70 years are over, I will punish the king of Babel and that nation for their sin, says Yehovah, and I will turn the land of the Kastim into everlasting ruins. I will inflict on the land all my words that I have decreed against it, everything written in this book, in which Yirmiyahu has prophesied against all the nations, for they too will become slaves. Too many nations and too powerful kings. I will pay them back according to their deeds and the work of their own hands. Okay, so what we read there is prophetic in nature when it was said, and it came to pass exactly like Yehovah said it would. The chastisement happened. And the people of Israel were totally removed from the land and brought to Babylon. Okay. And some seriously bad things occurred. Okay. The entire land will become a ruin. It did. Okay. When the 7 years are over, they did return, that they were let free, but only a small percentage returned back to the land. Okay. And it's interesting to know for you Gentiles that, you know, that you think you don't have to do with the law or anything like that. Well, Jehovah is using Nebuchadnezzar and his people to chastise his children Israel. And then he says he's going to, when the 7 years are over, he's going to chastise those people that did the evil against his people Israel. And the reason he does that is because there's a promise in Bereshit in Genesis 12. I will bless those that bless Israel and curse them that curse. So you're saying, well, God called these people, you know, the Father, Jehovah, called these people to, he called Nebuchadnezzar and his people to chastise. Well, Nebuchadnezzar should have known not to go do it. But he did it anyway because people are people, and they don't follow the word of God, and they don't follow what's right in their heart. They do what's ever wrong in their heart. Okay? So the reason that this all happened is that we've seen this key area here. You didn't listen or pay attention. The people of Israel did not listen or pay attention. That's why at Beth Goim, my leadership, with Rav Will and Rav Yehoshua and myself, we focus very strongly on Yeshua and keeping the laws. Because if Jehovah's going to make the Hebrew people pay attention and listen, he's going to make everybody, because he's the same for all people. Okay? So we look at verse 5, 25:5. The message was always, every one of you turn back from his evil way and from the evil of your actions. Okay? He's wanting us to turn back, but then he says, what's going to happen, because he knows we won't. And he sent us off into Babylon. And like I said, this was not an overnight thing. This took Yirmiyahu, Jeremiah prophesied for 50 years. Okay? So, but you don't know when the 50 years is over. It didn't say, okay, start. Okay? Well, we have Jeremiah. He does begin, but people are not paying attention in the beginning when he's talking and he's prophesying and saying these are the words of God. So that might be going on today in Israel. You know, it might have started, let's say, 20 years ago, or it might be happening in another country, such as America or England or Canada or any country, where the Lord is calling you back, but you don't want to follow the word of God. You don't want to read the Bible. You don't want to keep the laws. You say we're under grace, all that stuff, and you're going to get a chastisement. Okay. Now let's go on to this next part here. The prophet Yirmiyahu began his ministry during the reign of King Josiah. We talked about that, and he prophesied the word of the Lord until the destruction of Jerusalem in 586. So as you see both parts there, he began in 627, because remember, this is going at the zero year that the birth of Messiah. You go back 1 year, it's negative one, and so on. When you go forward, it's year 1, 2. So he began ministering, Yirmiyahu began ministering in 627, and the destruction of Jerusalem with the southern tribes was in 586. Okay, so that's a long time to be having problems. It's a long time that, you know, it gives a lot of information to Jehovah is slow to anger. He's slow to anger, but he does get angry. And it's very important for us to comprehend that we need to understand that Jehovah is slow to anger, but he does get angry. And it's something that we need to really understand and to see what's going on in our own lives, in our own nations, wherever you're watching this. Okay? And it's something very important for us to look at. Okay? And, the prophet Yirmiyahu prophesied to the Jews in Yerushalayim and Yehuda about 50 years before Yerushalayim would fall and be destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. But Jehovah warned them. He warned them numerous times to turn from their wicked ways. He warned them to follow the word of God, to repent, to return, to hear the sound of the shofar. Okay? And he brought this Gentile to attack them. And they didn't want to listen. Excuse me one second here. They didn't want to listen. Just like what's going on in the land today. It's very sad to say that, people don't learn from history. But it's amazing how we as people keep making the same mistakes over and over. And, a lot of people say, well, the Jews, they don't learn. I wouldn't just say the Jews don't learn. I think it's all people. All people don't learn. You should use the chosen people, the Hebrew people, the Jewish people, as your marker to show you that Jehovah doesn't change and that he's slow to anger, but he does get angry. And what he's going to do to those countries that have they are affirming lifestyles that are contradictory to the Torah, because Jehovah says who you can be with in Leviticus and Biacre 18 and in Romans 1. So, but that's not the only thing. It's drug addicts, it's theft, it's lying, it's not reading the word, it's not keeping Shabbat holy, it's not following what God wants us to do. So look at Jeremiah 2, verse 7. Yirmiyahu 2, verse 7. I brought you into the faithful land to eat its fruit and its good things, but you came and defiled my land, and my inheritance you made an abomination. That's what's going on in the land today. He brought us back to the land after World War II, and he's bringing a lot of people back, this very moment, as we talked about in the news and the immigration that's going on throughout the globe because of anti-Semitism. Okay, so Jehovah says, I brought you to eat the fruit of the land and eat its fruit and good things, and he did that again recently in 1948. But we're defiling the land. And remember, the whole earth is his. I mean, there's a special place called Jerusalem. But he's brought us, he brought the Christians here to America, okay? Because he gave the First Nations people, and there are many different nations that were warring and killing one another. He gave them an opportunity to repent. But here in Jeremiah 2:7, he said, I brought you into the fruitful land, the promised land, to eat its fruit and its good things. He was so much a blessing to us. So in Jeremiah, what we're going to see is Jeremiah is reminding the people back then of this, their history. Okay? That Jehovah brought us into the promised land. He destroyed the people ahead of us, and he gave it to his children. And he's saying here in verse 7, you came and defiled my land, and my inheritance you made an abomination. So to him, he's very angry. So he's going to prophesy in the book of Jeremiah these many things. And like I said, once again, let me bring up that picture again, because you really want to get a good understanding. You got to read Jeremiah along with Obadiah, Habakkuk, Amos, Hosea, and Micah to get the broad picture of what's going on. Then, like I said, you can parallel it to today. You can definitely parallel it to today. But as, like I said, we're going to... Now, I recommend going to our website, bgmctv.org, bgmctv.org, or up here, the BethGoyim.org. I made it a little simpler to go to bgmctv.org, because when I say Beth Goyim, people go, how do you spell it? Okay, so bgmctv.org or BethGoyim.org, and you can watch the other parts of this study that we did a couple of years ago. Okay, I highly recommend going back. There's 10 other parts, and as you know from our studies, we go deep into the Word, and we really dig deep and understand it at the greatest level. Okay, because I don't think it's wise for us to skim the Word of God. Okay, so once again, on this slide, we see that Jeremiah warned Jerusalem would be destroyed, and that the Hebrews would be taken away as captives. Okay, that's what in Jehovah's war scriptures, and when you look at the 34 categories set broken down by Maimonides, or you can break the categories down any way you wish into groupings. Okay, but there is a group where we talk about war, and Jehovah gave us laws for war, so he has to follow what he gave us, because if he gave us things that we need to do before going to war, and he doesn't do that in heaven, Jehovah doesn't do that in heaven, then he would be a hypocrite, okay? And Jehovah Elohim is not a hypocrite, okay? So he warned them before they were taken away, but here, look in the yellow, it's amazing, because I feel the same way. When I teach Torah to the nations, it's violently rejected by even those closest to us that we love dearly. My mother, my sisters, violently... my mother violently rejected. My sister just doesn't want to talk about it. But we're seeing this once again in the land of Israel. But these words are over 2,000 years old, and we're seeing the same type of behavior. But for our study, Jeremiah, his words were violently rejected by the leadership, okay? And he was continually persecuted. And we see that today, and we have that in the Brit Hadashah, in the New Testament. You're going to be persecuted for, you know, in John 17, Yeshua said, you'll be hated for following him. Okay, so Jeremiah was prophesying, bringing those people the words of Jehovah, and he was beaten. Some horrible things happened to him. Okay, Yirmiyahu was quick to obey God and to reveal to the children of Israel in Yehuda their sins. And that's what Yeshua, our Messiah, is talking about in John 3. The darkness hates the light. It's always hated the light. You know, especially, you know, Yirmiyahu prophesying and saying, you know, he warned them, and he was hated with hostility both in his hometown and in Jerusalem. You know, he's trying to tell them that God is getting kind of aggravated with you. But once again, when we look at what is going on spiritually by the kings of Israel, with the oranges and the reds and the oranges and red in the northern kingdoms, and then the red and the oranges in the southern kingdom, you can see the spirituality of what's going on and why Yirmiyahu's words were violently rejected, okay? Because the people don't want to hear about goodness and purity when they're fornicating and doing all sorts of nasty things. Turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah 12, verse 6. Once again, this is a review, because we're going to pick up, I believe, in chapter 3 next week. For even your own brothers and your father's family are betraying you. They are in full cry after you. Despite all their nice speech, don't believe them. Okay, this is going into peace, but there is no peace. Okay, Yeshua said he's going to break apart families, which to this day I still don't understand why Elohim doesn't call everybody, but you know, in the family. But it is your choice, okay? But we see here Yirmiyahu is being told your own brothers and your father's family are betraying you, okay? And they're in a full, you know, battle mode, a full cry after him, okay? What this means, what we see in verse 6 is they dealt treacherously with Yirmiyahu. But what we see many times is this is the calm before the storm. It's calm before the storm. Okay? And what's going to happen to Israel is they're going to be judged. Okay? They're going to be punished or rewarded. So when you're judged, you can be judged with in your favor, which is positive. Or you could be judged wanting, which means you're going to be punished. Okay? And when the people of Yehuda responded to Yirmiyahu's warnings of impending disaster, and they turned from their wicked ways, then the Lord did not chastise them. But then, eventually, people want to sin. They want to fornicate. They want to... you name it. They did it. Okay, but we always have to read, you know, Colette, Ecclesiastes. What's being human all about? Keeping the laws and following God. Okay, so Jeremiah prophesied, and look at Jeremiah 31. Turn to chapter 31, verse 28 and 29. Jeremiah 31, verse 28 and 29. If you have any questions, or if you'd like to join us to be interactive with the study, you can send me an email at info@bethgoyim.org, info@bgmctv.org, and that way you can ask questions, and it's good to be online, but it's also good to be able to ask questions and be interactive. So Jeremiah 31, verse 28 and 29. When those days come, they will no longer say, the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. Rather, each will die for his own sin. Everyone who eats sour grapes, his own teeth will be set on edge. Okay? So, you think the born-again passage is new, that Yeshua said in Yochanan, John chapter 3. It really isn't, because we're being told the same, pretty much the same thing here. No, we're not going to be responsible for what our fathers did. We're going to be personally responsible to Jehovah. And you look at verse 28 and 29 again. When those days come, they will no longer say, the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. Rather, each will die for his own sin. Everyone who eats sour grapes, his own teeth will be set on edge. So each is going to die for their own sins. It's something very important for us to look at, that we're all going to die for our own sins. And my job is to teach you the laws, but your job is to implement them. And Yirmiyahu is telling them back then, and he's telling us today, each of us is going to die for our own sins. Okay? Each of us is going to have to pay for our own sins. Yes, the second commandment is still viable and part of our of eternity, that the Lord's going to put the sins of the parents on the children. I mean, you can break free, like I broke free from my father not following the Lord, and my mother certainly not following the Lord. So it's something for all of us to really take note of. Okay, and the northern tribes were taken away, and the southern tribes, they didn't last, okay? Because Satan, you know, is like that dripping water. He knows how to constantly peck at us. He knows how to constantly work at us and go after us, and we eventually fall, okay? The Hebrew people eventually fall. The northern tribes went first. And then on the 9th of Av, okay, Nebuchadnezzar's forces destroyed the temple of Shlomo, Solomon. Okay. And they weren't nice to people when they were taking them off to Babylon. So if you were sick, you were killed, unless you could be carried. Okay, but it would be a terrible time. Now, we see here in this slide that they were taken away. And if we look back at our slide with all the prophets, you can see what else was going on. And you can really get a great picture of what's going on when we're taken away in Lamentations. You know, it's a sad book, Lamentations, but it's being written simultaneously with Jeremiah. Okay, so when you see that they're being taken away, that we just read and we looked at, then you look at what's going on in Amos, Hosea, Habakkuk, Obadiah, and Micah. And then you look at the bad kings, and the people just get worse and worse and worse. Because when you don't follow, we've been made to worship. That's one of the things we really need to understand. All of us have been made to worship. Okay? And if you don't worship God, you'll worship something else. You'll worship yourself. You'll worship objects. You'll worship sports stars or movie stars. So when you're empty and that void is open, that's when the Lord says, I've had enough of you. And he sent Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar, on the 9th of Av, you know, that was the first temple that got destroyed, Solomon's temple, Shlomo's temple. And the second temple would also be destroyed on this same day on the Hebrew calendar. Okay? And the same action occurred. The same actions occurred when they destroyed the first temple. The people went into captivity. When they destroyed the second temple on the same day, on the 9th of Av, the people went into captivity. So what we're seeing here is when our sins accumulate, each will die for his own sin. You know, there's that really great conversation between Abraham and Jehovah. And he says if there's 50, 40, 30, 20, 10. And Jehovah says if there's 10, I won't destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. But if he can't find 10 righteous, then he destroyed those cities. So the same was going on here, that he couldn't find the people to follow his word. So he said, now you're all going to pay for your own sin, but now you're going to have to go and be into captivity. Okay? Let's move on from there. Now what we're going to do for a little while, we'll go for a little while longer. We're going to go to the primary messages of what we're going to see in different chapters. Because it's also good, I find, when you know how that book is broken up, even in Torah. You know, it's broken into sections. So it's really good when you're studying the prophets. What is the key to that section? So that you can read that, and as we saw, the other books. Okay, so one is the impending destruction of Yerushalayim by Babylon. Okay, that's one of the prophecies that was spoken of and came to pass. Number two, the possibility of averting this destruction by repentance. The same promise that is being spoken of there, you can still have in our world today. Okay, we can avert this crisis that's coming if each person repents and starts following God's laws. Repents, believe in Messiah, repent and follow what the Father said, because Yeshua said, who are my brothers and sisters? And Yeshua replied, those who do what my Father in heaven wants. So we can avert the problems if we repent. Now, if we submit to Babylon rule, then we'll be able to come back. But if we don't submit, then we're going to get seriously chastised. And then, as we read earlier, Jehovah told us that Babylon will be destroyed after he's done using them, because he used them as a tool, and now he's going to destroy Babylon. And number five, Yehuda will return from captivity and eventually achieve unsurpassed glory. You know, sometimes it takes a big spanking for the child to really understand what they did was wrong. And this is apparent in the people of Israel, that they went into captivity, and then they were finally released from captivity, and they came back, and after some time they began to praise the Lord and do what he wanted, and then Jehovah blessed them mightily. Okay. Now, what we're going to look at is some of the chapter breakdown. In chapter 1, Jehovah calls Jeremiah. Okay. He starts off by telling him, that he knew him in the mother's womb. He's calling him. He's going to put words in his mouth. And we begin the book of Jeremiah in that relationship development between Jehovah the Father and his servant Yirmiyahu Jeremiah. And Jeremiah is going to be a young man, and he's not going to get much respect because the people didn't respect the younger people as that is apparent today. I mean, today's kids are, the incompetency is amazing. Now we look at chapters 2 through 6. the depravity of Yehuda and the inevitability of destruction from the north. Okay, the depravity is something that we need to look at, because it was happening then and it's happening today. The same exact thing is happening today, and we need to look at that and understand it. It's very important to understand and comprehend what we could do to stop what's going on. Okay, so that happens in chapter 2 through 6, how Jehovah will be calling Israel. He's going to be saying, I'll forgive you if you repent. He's really desiring to give those people another opportunity. And that's what I believe is the same for us today. And that's why I think this study is vitally important, as all of our studies of the Word of God, because it's the Word of God that is important. But to study it in this time period. Number 3, the illusions of temple security. This is chapter 7 through 10. In this section, Yirmiyahu weeps over the attitude of the people that their formal observance of the temple services will save them from destruction. He warns them that genuine repentance is their only hope. Sounds a little bit like the gospel. Well, it is. So, a lot of people, you know, we have our offerings, we have our temple, we have our priesthood, but that also ties together with the book of Yeshayahu, Isaiah, how the people are bringing their offerings, but the Lord says you got blood on your hands. The blood in your hands is meaning that you're not following the Word of God in spirit and in truth. If you're out being a whore, okay, and a prostitute and taking money for sex, and then you tithe on that money, that's abhorrent to the Lord. He doesn't want that kind of money. He doesn't want that kind of offering. Okay? And this is what was going on with those people. Is they were having, you know, they had their offerings at the temple, and these are good. But the Lord would rather you not have to do offerings. The Lord wants you to be as sinless as possible. Number 4. Yirmiyahu complained over his own miserable estate and the infidelity of the Jews of the covenant. Now this is in chapter 11 and 12. He sees the spiritual adultery going on with the people. And in the book of Yirmiyahu, in the book of Jeremiah, Jehovah uses a lot of terms, a lot of sexual terms, about the infidelity of a husband or wife. Okay, so that's something that you need to get in your spirit, because when we're reading the Word of God, it is the Word of God, and I'm not going to change wording for people who are snowflakes. Okay, it's very important that these things are very important. Number 5, chapters 13 through 25. Preaching and signs of the impending doom. So you see, what I'll try to do when we get to those chapters is try to give you a time frame of how long this impending doom was going on. Why? Because I think it's important for us today. But 2, it's hard to conceptualize, because we don't know when it began. You can say, well, did it begin in the 50s when the people came back from fighting evil in Europe after World War II? Did it start then with the free love and rock and roll music and the breakup of the family? Did it start then? Okay. But what we see here, what we're going to see in chapters 13 through 25, is the breaking away from doing God's laws. So in Yirmiyahu 25, he predicted the the length of the captivity would be 70 years, and that was true. That did happen. And then we get to chapters 26 through 39, the prophecies and events during the reign of the last king of Yehuda. Okay, he's going to be talking a lot about what's going to happen to them and in the future in the Acharit HaYamim. Number 7, chapter 40 and 41. Prophecies and events in Yehuda after the captivity. You know, did they really change? Were they following the word of God? Okay, that's something that we're going to look at in those two chapters when we get to them. Okay, what events were going on after the captivity? As we know from the people that were in Egypt, they left Egypt, but Egypt didn't leave them. You know, there's always that passage where Aaron boldface lies to his brother when he was asked him where the golden calf come from. And Aaron said, "It just popped out! It just popped out!" Okay, he was a terrible liar. Okay? But does this same thing occur in chapters 40 and 41? Number 8, Yirmiyahu's activity after he was forced to flee to Egypt. And that's going to be in chapter 42 through 51. And in the final exhortation to abandon idolatry is in chapter 44. So in the middle of all this, Jehovah's still trying to get us to break free the idols. It's amazing. We have idols today. We had idols over 2,000 years ago. And we need to really learn from this, as we're going to go through this for a bunch of weeks and see this parallel of what's going on here in the world today. The bulk of this section consists of prophecy against foreign nations, including a prediction of the eventual fall and desolation of Babylon. So he used Babylon to chastise Israel, but now, since they have Torah in their heart, they should have said, "Nope, we're not going to do that. Lord, we're not going to be the one to chastise your chosen people." And in the summary, in chapter 52, this is Yehuda, the southern tribes, going into captivity. Okay. And now let's just look at some key verses. We'll look at a couple key verses throughout the book of Jeremiah. So turn to chapter 1, verse 9. In chapter 1, Jehovah calls Yirmiyahu, and he says, "I put my words in your mouth." That's chapter 1, verse number 9. Okay, it's very important that it's not Jeremiah who's speaking, it's Jehovah that's speaking through him. It's Jehovah that speaks through Yirmiyahu. He writes down the prophecies, he speaks the prophecies, and we're able to read them today and to confirm that these things did occur. Chapters 2 through 10, Yirmiyahu condemns Yehuda for their sins and attacks their faithlessness. Is that anything that's going on in the land today, their faithlessness? The day of disorder in Israel today? Okay. And Jehovah was very angry about their blatant sin. Is he going to be the same way today in Israel? Chapter 11 through chapter 28. Turn to chapter 12, and we're going to look at verse 14. Verse 14, Jehovah says, at one point Jehovah says, "I will not listen when they call to me because their disaster." Okay, there is times where Jehovah says, "I'm not talking to you guys anymore. I'm not talking to you." Okay, so Yirmiyahu warned the destruction that would be poured out on Yehuda. I mean, they should have seen what happened to the northern kingdoms and what the Lord did with those people. But they hold their ground for a little while, but then sin just engulfs them. And this is something very important. He dispenses holy anger. And that's the only one, Jehovah is the only one that can get angry, because it's his world. It's very important that we realize that, that he has every right to get angry, because it's his place. In chapter 29 through 38, Jeremiah writes about the personal covenant and the hope that Jehovah would bring when he delivers them after the captivity. Okay, remember, Jehovah always keeps his covenant. Doesn't mean you're not going to get chastised. Doesn't mean that you're not going to go into captivity, because you were the one that broke the covenant. He doesn't break his covenant, but he allows you to get taken captive by your own pathetic holding on to the world. So Jeremiah writes about this personal covenant. Sounds like the Gospels once again. And King Zedekiah, who did not heed his warning, throws Jeremiah into prison. Remember I told you that he was hated? And then they put him in a cistern. Okay? He didn't die. He had some bruises and stuff like that. But he didn't die. And Jeremiah had to pass this test. And in our final slide for tonight, like I said, I'm sorry about the translation, but I can only do translation if I have a translator. Jeremiah records the events of the fall of Jerusalem in 586 before Messiah. And many prophets had announced in the past the Empire of Babylon indeed laid siege to Jerusalem, the land of Yehuda. This completes the exile of both kingdoms, the northern kingdom in 722 BC, and now the southern kingdom in 586. So let's see that. So you got, you know, so you got over 100 years. Okay. So this was not rapid. But the decline of the people, and you can see that in many countries, the decline of people is happening rapidly now. I mean, it didn't start out as rapid. There was a lot of little things, and then it just escalated in the book of Jeremiah, especially once the northern kingdoms were taken away. Like, let me show you this one last time. Look at the kings and the escalation. See, we see in Yehuda on the right there, it goes from green to red. Red being bad and abhorrent to God and evil. And then it swings back. It's like that pendulum. We always talk about the pendulum swinging back and forth. And then it went back to green, then to red for a much longer period of time, then for a little while back to green, and then we go to red and orange. So it is something that goes on because the people don't want to follow God. They find it much easier to sin. So in Jeremiah 37:17, King Zedekiah was captured and his son murdered in his presence. He was blinded, bound, and dragged off to Babylon to captivity. So he got to live after seeing his son killed because he wasn't, well, he was murdered. But we need to follow God's ways now before the chastisement begins. So like I said, what we're going to be doing, that was an overview for tonight. A nice little hour-long overview. So that when we start back up, I believe we're going to start back up in chapter 3 next week. I recommend everybody at least watching one or two of our previous studies that are on the website. If you go to the main index page of BethGoyim.org, you'll see a link to the the timeline. I think I put the timeline as the picture. And click and watch one or two of the studies so that you can be ready for more information that we're growing. And if you have any questions, don't hesitate to write or call our ministry. And don't hesitate to come on down to Beth Goyim at 800 West 3rd Avenue Extension in Lexington, North Carolina. You don't have to be Jewish to be with us. You just got to be wanting to follow the word. So let's close in some prayer, and this will be up on our website tomorrow. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings today. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to share these truths. May we all learn from the past so we don't do the same mistakes. Your name is Yeshua, and everybody said Amen.
Shalom. This is Messianic Rabbi Andrew Dinnerman. I would personally like to thank you for tuning in to the Remnant's Call each and every week. You can listen to the full message on our website, bethgoyim.org. If you have drawn closer to the King of Kings, learned more about Him today, we are blessed. If you are blessed by these messages, please consider a donation to our ministry. You can go to our website, bethgoyim.org. That's BETHGOYIM.org. And click on the donate button. You do not have to have a PayPal account to donate. All you need is a debit card. Once again, thank you very much for listening to The Remnant's Call.
If you have not taken your first steps to be born again, just ask God's help. Remember, it's His loving grace that has come to find you. No one is worthy or able to reach God, but God can reach us, and He's reaching out to you now. Just open your heart and let Him in. His arms are open, and the blessing of salvation and eternal life are waiting for you. Don't let it wait any longer.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift His face and shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you and give you His shalom.
Shalom. My name is Messianic Rabbi Andrew Dinnerman, and I invite you to come to visit our congregation. If you are in the tri-state area, come out and visit with us on Shabbat. We are a congregation of Jews and Gentiles living as one in the Messiah Yeshua. BGMC is a place of true worship. The focus never wanders from the Hebraic roots of our faith. Beth Goyim is rooted in the Word of God from Bereshit through to the Book of Revelation. Messiah's strong words against man-made tradition are carefully recorded in Matthew 7. That is the reason we only follow the straight-up instructions found in Scripture. Truly, the way, the truth, and the life. If you're looking for a deeper walk with Adonai, come out for our Tuesday evening Bible study called Messianic Torah Time. Come, spend a day with us on any Shabbat. We start at 11 a.m. with the sound of the ancient Hebrew shofar. Next, we offer our King praise and worship in English, Hebrew, and Spanish. After worship, we review the headlines in the previous week's news from around the globe, especially news from the Holy Land Israel. We don't just list the news headlines as current events, but we comb through the scriptures, searching for clues to understand what they mean, and then to help pinpoint prophetically our current position on Adonai's clock. After digesting all that modern information, we leave the world behind as we journey with our Adonai deep into His eternal word, not with just one or two scriptures, but usually seven or more scriptures. The spiritual nourishment and the richness of His kingdom become accessible to the ones who share this special time and seek them out. The day does not end there. Because Shabbat is so special to him, there is always so much more that our King desires to share. So instead of separating and leaving, we stay together as a family for potluck lunch and an afternoon study of our King's Word. We close the Shabbat together with the reading of the new week's parasha. That's the Torah portion. Even after those blessings, many of us just can't get enough. So the members bring prepared homemade foods to share while we all enjoy an uplifting movie together. If all that information is not quite enough, you can check out our website where you will find over 200 video teachings and biblical holy day studies. Under Messianic Torah Time, the Hebrew Roots button, you'll discover free studies on many, many different topics, including PowerPoint slide presentations. If Beth Goyim sounds like a place you'd love to visit, but you live outside the tri-state area, there is still a way to connect with us. We stream live on the internet on Tuesday, Thursday, and Shabbat. The website is www.bethgoyim.org. That's BETHGOYIM.org. Our phone number is 973-338-7800 or 978-2-YESHUA. That's 978, the number 2, Yeshua. Shalom.